The title of my message this morning is Faith Wins. Amen. And faith always wins, amen. Amen? Thank God for that. I remember a few months ago, maybe a couple of years ago or whatever, I don't remember, there was an advertisement on buses and you saw it in the media about love wins. And what they should have really said is sin wins, but sin doesn't win. Amen. Because I've seen the end, amen. Amen. The devil does not win, amen. Amen. I've seen the last chapter. I know what happens, amen. Amen. And God always wins. So, amen. So we're going to look this morning about why we need faith.
Yeah.
Do you need faith? I need faith. It's not about the amount of faith you have necessarily, it's who you have the faith in.
Right.
Now, if you have faith in this world, you've got poor faith, amen.
Amen.
If you have faith in yourself, you're in a mess.
Amen.
But if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're blessed, amen.
Amen.
And we have to have that. So this morning we're going to look about why we need faith. The Bible says we need faith as a grain of a mustard seed. So you don't need a lot of faith, but when you get that faith, you're supposed to plant it and grow it and feed it and moisturize it, water it, so that it can grow. And we all need our faith to grow, amen. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour, 10 years, 100 years, or whatever, we all need faith.
Amen.
And we need faith this morning to walk in the Christian life. Thank God for that. Amen. So this morning I'm going to look at some different avenues why we need faith. First of all, we need faith because faith dissolves doubts. There's an old saying that I used to hear a preacher used to say, doubt your doubts. If you have doubts, you don't have faith. One of my favorite messages that I like to hear every once in a while was by a guy called Harold Seitler over in Greenville, South Carolina. And you can get it, access on the internet, it's on YouTube. And it's called from Psalm 78, God Can.
Amen.
God Can.
Amen.
And the world says, can God? And you and I who are believers, amen, we say, God Can.
Amen.
God Can. The world says, can God save? And the Bible says God can.
Amen.
And faith dissolves doubts, amen. Just like you used to get the Alka-Seltzer, plink, plink, fizz, and then you can't see anything. If you have faith and action in your life, it will dissolve the doubts in your life.
Good.
Because faith and doubts don't walk hand in hand.
Yeah.
Either you let one in or you let one out, amen.
Yeah.
So we're going to look this morning about how faith dissolves doubts. First of all, Israel had the same problem. No matter what God did for them, they still doubted and disobeyed. What has God done for you? What has God done for me? He gave his son Jesus. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. He became our substitute. He became our sacrifice. The Lamb of God sinned for the sins of the whole world. And we wake up in the morning and say, well, I don't know. What? You're not acting by faith. You're acting by doubt. I like how the Bible puts things, amen. It's just so wonderful. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, when addressing the Sanhedrin, that mob who soon would kill them, he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. And this was supposed to be the intelligentsia, the leaders of the state of Israel, or whatever you want to call it. And they still, with their eyes, their ears, and their mouth, resisted God. Stiff-necked. I've met stiff-necked Christians. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to drink it, I'm going to live it, and I'm going to do it. Stiff-necked.
Yeah.
Stiff-necked. Uncircumcised in heart and ears. Why do they always resist the Holy Ghost? Why do Christians, I'm talking Christians now, of course the lost resist as well, by the way, but Christians especially, when coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, say no to God. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that can apply to Christians and non-Christians. Because even Christians, when they read the Bible or they hear a message or a sermon, and it becomes clear what God says, say, that doesn't apply to me. I'm different. I'm special. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know? God does.
Amen.
His word doesn't change.
Amen.
You know, one of the things, the wonderful things about the Bible, the word of God, it has not changed.
Amen.
God does not change. Sin in the past is sin today and sin in the future. God doesn't wake up and say, you know, I think I'll get the latest technology. I think I'll adjust what I require, because, you know, the world is different. They're more educated now, are they? They might know a few facts, but that's not education, amen.
Amen.
Do they understand wisdom? Wisdom and the fear of God, amen.
Amen.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so faith dissolves doubts. And many times God's people have doubts because of their pride, their stubbornness, and their sin.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but I'll say it. I've seen Christians do some dumb things. I'm always shocked sometimes at the depth of sin that Christians go to. Getting awful quiet. Amen.
Amen.
The valleys and the dungeons and the darkness they will go to, that God has to reach out and through chastisement and just bring them out of it.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Because I've been there.
Reach your hand.
Amen?
Yeah.
How many times have we walked away from God when God never walked away from us?
That's good.
I have this thing today, I tell you. I'm kind of weird. But, you know, I watch these things on YouTube, which I probably shouldn't. But I think it's just funny. I remember I was watching this guy, and he was talking about being ghosted. Now, I didn't know what ghosted was. And apparently he said he was meeting this girl and the thing seemed to be going well. And the next morning she blocked him and there's no contact and nothing. He said, I've been ghosted. How many times have we done that to God? How many times have we not prayed when we knew we should pray? How many times have we not witnessed when we know we should witness? What is that caused by? A lack of faith. Call a spade a spade. It's a lack of faith. Because we're afraid, and we'll look into this in a few minutes, you can't have faith and fear at the same time.
Yeah.
Love casteth out fear.
Amen.
Faith casts out fear.
Yeah.
Faith dissolves doubts. Yeah. Another great verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. If God has freed you from something, you ought not to go back to it.
Sure.
Think about that for a second. If God has freed you from some sin and some problem in your past that was bad for you, why would you go back to it? Because of a lack of faith. Why is it we doubt? The Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if all things work together for good, why are we not seeking good faith in our lives?
Yeah.
Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? You see, faith by its nature is optimistic.
Yeah.
I like optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Debbie's the exact opposite to me. She loves pessimism. But I love optimism, amen? If you want someone to find the bad in a situation, talk to Debbie. She'll find it. She's good at that, amen? She's really good at it. But me, I'm optimistic. I mean, I could jump out of a building and I'd say, we'll go down. So far, so good. So far, so good. But faith is optimistic by nature. In our passage we read in Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ asked the question, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? That's a good question.
Amen.
How is it that we have no faith?
Richard.
Well, I can't do that. Why not? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can remove mountains.
Amen.
The problem is not in God. The problem is in you.
Exactly.
Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. Jesus, when healing a daughter, says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. James chapter 4, verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Why is it we doubt God who's done us so much good?
Amen.
Why do we dabble with the world rather than obey God? Used to be a computer game years ago. I heard about it. And it was kind of a bad game. It was like, you know how they used to have computer games and people would play it all the time? Apparently they still do. But this game was called Sin. It was called Sin. And people were saying, after church, let's go home and play with Sin. Are you on sin?
Dear, dear.
Did you see the Eurovision Song Contest? No, I hope you didn't. Hope you didn't. The Irish entry screaming, "I am a witch." I'm sure she probably is. Sin doesn't win, faith does.
Amen.
Why do we dabble with the world rather than believing God? Faith dissolves doubts. Faith dispels dread. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. Mark chapter 5, a few chapters over. Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Only believe. We have that in what they call the five solas. Only faith, only grace, only believe. What do you need to be saved? Only believe.
Amen.
You do nothing but believe.
That's right.
You don't go out and change your life and fix it up and live in a nice house and put on a suit and tie and start saying this, that. You just believe. Yeah. That's it. Simple. Faith dispels dread. There are some people who dread getting up in the morning because of a lack of faith.
Amen.
I always like what the Lord Jesus says. He says in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." This world is afraid of World War III.
Yeah.
This world is afraid of what might happen with Putin and G and Ukraine and all the rest of that. The next pandemic, they're already talking about that. The swine flu, no, the bird flu, swine, bird, whatever, you know. They're afraid of what's in the future, but for the Christian,
yeah.
I'm not afraid. You
yeah.
can't scare me with heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. What's the worst going to happen? I'll go to heaven.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm looking forward to that. Amen.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being saved, being born again and waking up in heaven? I forget his name now, but there was a famous Satanist. And when he was dying on his deathbed, they recorded it. He cried out, "What have I done?" I think that's what it was. He said, "What have I done? What have I done? What have I?" And he went out into eternity. "What have I done? What have I done?" And can you imagine that for a lost person, seeing the reality of hell, the gulf of hell opening up to receive you? And compare that with the Christian running into the arms of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Faith dispels dread. I'm not afraid of the future. I rejoice in the future.
Yeah.
It's only going to get better for the Christian.
Yeah.
This world's going to go in a mess.
Yeah.
I've read the book of Revelation.
Right.
Have you seen what's in there? Do you know what's coming?
Yeah.
But faith says, "I'm not afraid.
Jesus.
I have Jesus.
Mm.
And that's all I need."
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of that. You know, I think money's got, I'll just say this, I think money's going away. You enjoy the money you have for the moment, but I think it's going away.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have digital currencies and digital things, and that's all going to control, and they're going to control what you can do, and they're already starting to do that
yeah.
in many countries, in many respects.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not afraid of that.
Amen.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Marvelous message we sing, glorious carols we sing, wonderful words of the King, Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
Many are fearful, but we should rejoice because of our faith. Having faith does not mean that we ignore or are ignorant of what is going on. It just prepares us for our future home.
That's good.
You ever gone on holiday somewhere? And that day you leave, you pack your bags, you're ready to go, you're looking forward to it. And then you're not interested in what's on the news or what's going on. You want to get away.
Yeah.
That's faith.
Yeah.
I'm not so much interested in what's going on in this world as I am in getting away. Jesus is coming again. That's what faith is all about.
Yeah.
And here's another great reason why you need faith. Faith defeats the devil.
Amen. Yeah.
The last thing the devil wants for you and I is to have faith and be faithful.
That's right.
The devil wants to mess us up.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to mess up the lost. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 says this, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." The devil doesn't want people to believe.
Amen.
The devil does not want people to have faith.
Amen.
Both unsaved and saved. The devil is happy with you being miserable and full of fear and worry instead of just trusting Jesus.
Yeah.
I like again what the Bible says about the devil in Acts chapter 13 verse 10. And he's talking about those who are wicked. And he said, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" The devil wants to pervert the right ways of the Lord.
Amen.
The devil wants you on a crooked path,
yeah,
not a straight path.
Right.
The Bible says, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life everlasting." Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
The one thing the devil does not want to see in the life of a Christian is more faith. Mm-hmm. You just have your faith to yourself. Uh-huh. And don't tell anybody else. Uh-huh. Keep it a secret. Bring Jesus out on maybe Christmas and Easter and maybe a few, but just keep it to yourself. The devil does not want your faith to grow.
Amen.
He wants your faith to slow.
Yeah.
Because the devil's the enemy.
Yeah.
The devil, and there is, by the way, let me just say, there is a devil. There is a real devil.
Amen.
Amen. There are real angels, both demons and good angels. Amen.
Yeah.
There are demonic forces in charge of this world,
yeah,
of every single government. All of them.
Yeah.
Principalities, powers, yeah, wickedness.
Yeah.
I was going to post it, but I didn't. I probably shouldn't. Or I probably should. I don't know. Have you seen the latest portrait of King Charles?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that when they do the opposites?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they remove the color?
Yeah.
I'll show it to you afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You can clearly see demons behind him.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in plain sight.
Amen.
Right there.
Yeah.
The devil's not hiding anymore.
No.
He's running around saying, "Love wins." But faith wins.
Amen.
Faith in Christ always wins. The devil does not want you to have more faith. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ in you is greater than any of the principalities,
amen,
and powers and the devil in this world?
Yeah.
You just need to let him have control.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good.
You need to let him teach you.
Amen.
Because he is the victor. He's the winner.
Right.
I remember when I first started karate, and you know, you start off with a white belt, and you know, it was fun. We'd jump around and we'd spar and all the rest. All the white belts were great. And then the black belts would come in and spar with us. At first it was murder. But then you start to learn a few things because you've been taught by the master.
That's good.
If you're taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, he will teach you.
Yeah.
If you're willing to be taught.
That's good.
James chapter 4 verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." A Christian who is submitting to God will have the devil run from him,
yeah,
not to him.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe the reason why that the devil is so active in the lives of many Christians is because they're not submitting to God.
Good.
Submitting to God,
yeah,
and his word. You know, the way I always think about submitting is like when you used to play wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I think today they call it tapping out.
Right.
But we used to wrestle and be, uncle, or something like that. When you're in a position that you couldn't resist anymore, you tapped out.
Yeah.
Maybe if we just did that to God and submit and say, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." Maybe the devil wouldn't run to you.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd run from you. You see, the devil does not want to be in Christians who are submitted and surrendered and serving Jesus Christ. Makes them run. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober." Did you read what that said? Be sober,
amen,
be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
Be sober.
Amen.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to the Greek, the Hebrew, and all the rest of it. It just says, be sober.
Yeah.
Oh, but that doesn't apply to me. I can be tipsy. I can be this, that, and the other. That be sober doesn't mean be sober. It just means something else. Really? The devil likes what you're thinking. God doesn't. Not only does faith destroy the devil or defeat the devil, faith disarms defeat. If you want to be not defeated and victorious, walk by faith. As I said, that passage in Psalm 78, and I'm going to read it, Psalm 78, verses 17 through 19, which says, "And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God," they said, now this is the children of Israel in the wilderness, "they spake against God, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God really take care of me?" Song says, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you.
Amen.
God will take care of you.
Yeah.
God will take care of you. Don't look to the government or your bank or your balance.
Amen.
Or your bankruptcy. God will take care of you.
Amen.
Well, the disciples, Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear,
yeah,
where you're going to stay. God will take care of you. Listen, I've been saved now since 1979.
Wow.
And God has taken care of me.
Yeah.
Every single time.
That's good.
I remember as a young Christian, I used to worry, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, God will have something for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that. There'll be plenty to do, amen, when you follow him. Christian life's an exciting life.
Amen.
Why do people fail and get into defeat? Because many Christians just give up too early or too easily.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to find Christians today who will stick to the stuff and stay by the stuff. If you read in the Old Testament, when David went out into battle, there were those who went out into the battle and they fought against the different armies. But there's also those who stuck by the stuff. We need Christians who will stick by the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Stick by the word.
Amen.
We need to be so stickable we're like gum under a seat that's been left there for years and years and years and you just can't get off. We should say, I don't care what happens, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek the lost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A lot of times we don't because we just give up too easy. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him," this was Peter walking on the water, "and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" At least Peter was out in war.
Amen.
Amen. You can criticize people for trying to do something for God and maybe not doing as well as you think, but at least they're doing something.
Amen.
I'd rather do something badly for God than do nothing well for God.
Amen.
Remember the talents the Lord gave out? They all got the same. One gained, what was it, 10? One gained 5. Another said, "Lord, I hid your talent because I knew you were an austere man." Which one got praised and which one got punished?
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
God wants you to do something with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite verses, unfortunately. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience."
Amen.
That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The reason why we don't get the things we want or seek for God is maybe we just need to keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
God never said he'd give you everything right away.
That's right.
We have another child, granddaughter, grandson coming very soon. And you know, the great thing about grandchildren is a lot of times when people buy things from them, they buy them for when they're born. But babies grow, they need things as they go along.
Amen.
Maybe, you know, instead of getting newborn stuff, get stuff when they're like 9 months or a year. Because what happens is you got a whole bunch of newborn stuff and stuff that just isn't ready for the 9 month and a year and so forth.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need not just faith for being born again, but maybe down the road you need more faith.
Amen.
And don't give up. Don't throw in the towel.
Amen.
I like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you ever read the book of Jeremiah? What a great book. Jeremiah said, got in a huff. He spat out the dummy. I'm not going to say anything. They were mean to me. They threw me in a pit. And I'm not going to say anything. He said, there was a fire burning up until I had to say something.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes you just need to not give up. You need to get going.
Yeah.
Instead of doing less for God, do more for God. Amen.
Yeah.
Because many Christians give up, and we have to understand that faith is never defeated. There's never a wrong time to exercise faith. Never. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, we read it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I like to be a victory, man. I like to be on the winning side, you know. And as a Christian, you are on the winning side. But you can have a joyous journey or a despicable journey. Faith is never defeated. John, the apostle, the disciple of the Lord, said in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. One of the most difficult things for me as a pastor is that to see so many Christians go by the wayside. I remember people I got saved with back in the 80s. Who are no longer Christians, well, they're not, if they got saved, they're eternally secure, but they're no longer living for the Lord. They're living in the world. I can count on this one hand the number of people that got saved when I got saved who are still abiding by the stuff. Maybe in your life you can say the same thing. How many Christians? Instead of just going straight. And the reason why I believe is because they don't have faith. Idols. You don't have faith in idols. Exactly. Money, the world, power. Anything but faith. One of the great things about faith is faith destroys death.
Amen.
For the Christian, death is not something to be feared. Amen. It's something to be revered.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to read this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The enemy of humankind is the fact that we all die. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Death is sure. They say that the two things that we know we'll face in life is death and taxes. And death will happen to all of us. But where do you go after that? I remember witnessing to my brother who's now passed into eternity. And I witnessed him and I told him, I said, you need to be saved. It's so simple. Just trust and believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and ask him to save you. And he's like, no, it's too difficult. But it's the exact opposite of difficulty. And the reason why he thought it was difficult because he didn't have any faith. Faith always wins. Always wins. Acts chapter 14 verse 22 says this, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to heaven, amen. You know, heaven's going to be great. When you get to your, I wonder if there's birthday parties in heaven for your 1 millionth birthday. Of course, there's no time in heaven, so it doesn't really matter anyway. But you know, forever and ever and ever in the glory of heaven, with Jesus, with God's people. And what got you there? Faith.
Amen.
Faith always wins. Faith wins because faith is always that which destroys death. Faith in Christ in particular destroys death. We read that passage in Acts with the Apostle Paul and his calling. It says in verse 26 of 16 of Acts 26, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Faith sanctifies. I heard a few years ago, and apparently it's still good, one of the new technologies they came up with to deal with wounds was maggots. and they would get wounds of gangrene and stuff like that that, you know, they couldn't surgically take care of. So they would put maggots in, because apparently maggots will only eat dead flesh. And there are certain places you go to, I've seen them, but I've never partaken of them, where you put your feet into this water and these wee fishies apparently eat the skin and all the dead bits off you. Faith cleans you up. Faith doesn't leave you in the mess you're in. Now, when you get saved, God gives you eternal life right then and there.
Amen.
But that starts a process of God working in your life. The faith works outwardly, changing your life. And things become different. The whole object of the gospel is to save and to sanctify God's people. God doesn't want us to go in heaven. Now, if you get saved and 10 seconds later the Lord comes back, that's fine. But I'm talking about as a Christian, as you grow, God wants you to grow in faith.
Amen.
That's how important faith is in your life.
Yeah.
So getting back to the question the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples as they were in the boat in the middle of a storm, why is it you have no faith? The Lord was with them in the boat. What more do you need
Amen.
To believe?
Yeah.
What more does God have to do for you? Well, if I got £1 million, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't.
Amen.
You'd be miserable.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Better to have faith than £1 million in your hand.
Yeah.
Because that £1 million will go.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It will go.
Amen.
But faith will never go.
Right.
Let's determine that we're going to have more faith in this coming week. More faith in God.
Yeah.
More faith in His Word.
Amen.
More faith in what He's doing in our life.
Yeah.
Because faith always wins.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, Lord. It clearly teaches us that we're only saved by faith and only believing in what You did on the cross, Your death, burial, and resurrection. But Lord, as Christians, we need to have faith every single day to walk, Lord, and to war and to do Your will in our lives. Help us to have more faith. Lord, help us not to be like disciples when it's obvious we're not acting in faith, but Lord, help faith to grow in our lives. Help us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our lives that we might be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Bless our time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.